Good morning, family, One Life family. You're all so beautiful. So we're going to get started here pretty quick. We call church. But first, I wanted to share some good news with you guys. You're amazing. But you know, I've always looked up to King David. I've always thought he was great, and you know, who better to look up to than someone who the Lord looked at and said, "This is my son in whom I'm well pleased." But I have to admit that sometimes I've seen that from my flesh. And then bear with me here, but I'm saying I've seen it from the perspective that I want to do like he did. Instead of chasing after his heart, I was chasing after his works. You know, I want God to look at me because I looked at all the things that he did and I thought, wow, that's great. But instead of going after the heart of what he represented, you know, like in 1 Samuel, God refuses someone. He says, you know, I didn't refuse him because of how he looked. You know, men look at the outward appearance. We're so quick to look at what someone looks like, or we're so quick to look at what somebody does and judge them. But God looks into their heart, and he sees that they're good. And I have to say that that's really good news, because if God looked at me and saw the things that I've done, or saw the things that I still do, he'd probably be disappointed. But he looks at me, and you know what he sees? He sees his son. And he says to me this morning, he says, "I'm well pleased with you." And he says the same thing to each of us. You know why? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus has satisfied his wrath toward mankind. Sin isn't a problem anymore because Jesus paid the price. And I just look this morning for us to be so stirred up in love for God and passion for him, and that we just get lost in him again. And you know, Romans, Paul talks about circumcision, and I promise this is spiritual, but you know, Romans chapter 2 verse 28, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God." And in praise, guys, we open up our hearts to God, and we're offering him giving him an opportunity. Guys, it's not that he needs an opportunity because he could take it, but he values our decision. He values our choice to come to him so much that he does look for us to create opportunity. And this morning, guys, let's create an opportunity for him to come. Let's come, let's give him an opportunity to look at us, to examine our hearts, to examine our motives, to go deeper, because there's more of God for each of us than what we've already been walking in. And I know this has been a theme in our church, but we want to press in. We want to go deeper. There's something more that God wants to do with us. He's not finished with us yet. You know, it's easy to look at our lives as there's a chronologically, you know, we see, well, before this point, I wasn't saved and I did all that. Well, God forgave me for all that. Now I'm a Christian, right? And I'm all cleaned up. And then when we get squeezed, when we make a mistake, we go, well, where's my forgiveness? You know, where's that freedom that I was walking in because I just stepped back into chains? Well, he's not a one-time deal. It's not a one-time forgiveness. You go on in Romans here, Romans chapter 5. "But God demonstrates his love toward us." It's easy. Why do we look at it? We go, God demonstrated his love for us, right? He didn't demonstrate it in the past. He's currently demonstrating it. He demonstrates his love toward us. In that while we were still sinners, I'm not saying we should identify as sinners. Does anyone in here sin ever? I mean, honestly, it's not that we are sinners, but we have capacity and we do sin. While we were still sinners, God demonstrates his love toward us. Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Guys, God is happy today. He's in a good mood. He looks at us. He says, I'm well pleased with you. I'm well pleased with you. Guys, we don't have to be afraid of him. We don't have to be afraid of God anymore. Thank you, God. God, we approach you today, and we approach you as sons, as daughters. We approach you without fear. We know that you've removed fear from this situation by perfect love. God, you've demonstrated your love so many times in our lives. And right now, we just say, fear, you have no room in here. Within our hearts, fear, you have no place. God, we're not afraid of you anymore. We love you. We love you. We believe you when you say you've forgiven us. We believe in Jesus. Everyone say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. It's that one simple thing, guys. It's faith. It's faith. Without it, it's impossible to please him, which means with it, he's well pleased. And God, we just give you opportunity this morning. Come into our hearts in more fullness. We know that your fullness is already within us, but God, we just say, expand the walls. Like in Isaiah, they had to expand the tent to contain more. We just say, God, expand the walls this morning. We make more room for you. Thank you that we can approach you unafraid, God. When you see us, you see your children. You see love. You see us through eyes of love. Now, guys, let's all stand up. Let's all honor God. Let's not just stand up because that's what we've done, but let's stand up to honor God this morning. Started here in worship, guys, let's go somewhere we've never gone. Let's allow God to move in ways we've never seen him move. And even before we begin to sing, guys, just begin to lift your praise to God. Lift up your hearts to God. That's what he's looking at. He's not looking at did he or she lift her hands. He's not looking at was her voice good. He looks at that heart. And as we read words on a screen, guys, these are not just words on a screen. Just like the word of God is spirit, our worship is to be in spirit and in truth. It's that heart that is attached to what we're singing. And we sing it in the spirit to God.
has brought us out of the darkness into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts.
Sing that again.
Up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the darkness into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens. Lift up one voice to our God, we lift up one song to our God, we lift up one voice singing hallelujah to our God, we lift up one voice to our God, we lift up one song to our God, we lift up one voice singing hallelujah.
Have been broken.
Chains have been broken. Eyes have been opened. An army of dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated. We are victorious. You are alive. God, we lift up one voice to our God, we lift up one song to our God, we lift up one voice singing hallelujah to our God, we lift up one voice to our God, we lift up one song to our God, we lift up one voice singing hallelujah. 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 Singing hallelujah. 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 We'll make His praise. One voice singing hallelujah to our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. Singing hallelujah. 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 Singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Standing quietly before God. But sometimes we get into this setting and we think, man, there should be something going on. Sometimes he just needs a moment to breathe on us, guys. So continue pouring that praise forth out of your guys' hearts this morning. Give him that opportunity that he so desires. Just give him that chance to breathe fresh new life into that heart. To propel you past where you've been and propel you past your current circumstances into the more of God. Thank you.
face. We can run straight into your arms unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. And we can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. Every time we worship, we see your face, see your face. Every time we worship, we see your face, see your face.
There is no one like.
unafraid. 'Cause every time we need you, we're met by love. And we can lift our hands to heaven full of faith. 'Cause every time we worship, we see your face.
the words to this song are about as touching as you can get. You see me, you know me, you love me through and through. And yesterday, there was a most beautiful tribute for Joshua James Williams, who knew the Lord. He knew the Lord. When that young man entered heaven's gates, he was welcomed in the arms of his Father God. And the Lord said to him, well done, my son, well done. And the Lord is calling us all to be who he wants us to be. You need to know the Lord. You need to be touched by the Lord. You need to be present with the Lord so you can know him through and through. And one of the most beautiful things about hearing the story of Joshua James Williams wasn't all the points that he made for Davis High School, which was quite impressive, but it was all the things that young man in his 33 years chose to do to honor God's children. All the stories, one by one, people went up and shared about what Josh did. He stayed in contact with his coach for years until the time he died, finding ways that he could work with troubled boys, needing boys, because he loved baseball, no, basketball and football, and he wanted to share love. He wanted children to know, boys to know, what it was to be loved and accepted for who they were. And our God accepts us for who we are, no matter what. No matter what ailment, no matter what brokenness, no matter where we are with him, the Lord accepts us and loves us. You don't have to be Joshua James Williams. You have to be a child of God and just stand before him daily and receive that blessing. Receive his love. Receive his acceptance. And someday we will all stand before the Father, and he will say to us, I saw you. I knew you. I loved you. Welcome home, my children. Welcome home. Your Father is ready to receive you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it took the pain of the loss of Josh. But where there is pain, the Lord is present. And so look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Be present with the Lord. Be filled with the Lord. Know the Lord. Call out to Father God, because he is present. He is present, and he is there for each of us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you gave Joshua James Williams a very special anointing in his life. Expect your anointing too.
Started chemotherapy, and my daughter called and said, Mom, David's cancer free. Everything that she had. But I had a very special friend in this church that said, he will be a testimony. And he is the big shot in the Harley Davis world's largest Harley Davis building in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I know he's testifying right now to those. those men that he hires and works with, that he's cancer free.
Let's sing that again one more time. You know me.
Father, for
Father, we're so thankful that you don't look at our outer appearance. You don't look, Lord, at the things that we do, the things that we say, the things that we appear to be. You look at our heart. You look at our inner man. So, Lord, that's the part that we're concerned with today. We're concerned with this inner man. We're concerned with this heart issue, Lord, that's in us. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just do a work in us today. You'd help remove every stubble, every thorn, every briar, every muddy water, everything that deteriorates us from becoming who you desire us to be. Lord, we thank you that we can rest in your loving arms. We thank you, Lord, that we can have your love penetrate us and go through and through. But Lord, we just don't want to know and experience your love, Lord. We want to be transformed by your love. Lord, we want to become who you want us to be, like you. We just surrender and we yield our lives as offerings today. We surrender and we yield our ways, our plans, even for this service right now, Lord, into your hands. We are yours, Lord. We are yours. We are yours. To do with what you want, to do with what you will. Have your way, Jesus, in us. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Spirit of living God, in us. We surrender. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your plans. Hey, we surrender to your love. The greatest power in the universe is your love, Lord. We surrender to it right now. We lift up our hands and we say, captivate us, surround us, apprehend us by your love, Lord. Bring transformation to our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, team. Yeah, give it up.
We didn't do that one other song, maybe at the close or something. Maybe it was just for me this morning. I don't know. It was good. It was a good song to sing in the shower. Was it? Yeah. Something about the shower, man. It just, God can hammer you there. I guess it's just the condition we're in, right? Everything, all pretense is removed, right? And then the water hitting you. Anybody else really enjoy connecting with God in the shower? Is that just like Glenn and I? I know Josh, you do, yeah. You don't shower much. Well, okay. Well, sorry, Michelle, but anyway. We'll pray for you. Exactly. Praise the Lord. Why? Yeah, exactly. It's all preference, right? He wears an amazing cologne, so. Or colognes, right? Yeah. Praise God. Okay. So are you guys ready for a great time? Or have we already had a great time? Let's have the children come on up. Come on up, Glenn. Yeah. Kid at heart. Wow, those are some serious boots, Bella. Those are like that you work out in the... I mean, those aren't just for show, right? Those are working boots. Yeah. And she came up here with authority when she walked up, so praise God. Were you guys ready for a great time downstairs? Okay, let's stretch forth our hand. Father, we just release, Lord, your we release, Lord, your grace and your mercy, Lord, upon these lives. Lord, we pray that you would just bless them. Let them receive, God, everything that you have for them today. Help them, Lord, to continue to grow up and become who you've called them to be, Lord, as people. But Lord, most of all, we pray that you would activate them, Lord, deep within their inner man, within their spirit, Lord, so they would become who you've called them to be today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Do we have any announcements? Do I have one here? I don't have one. Okay, what was on the... Is there anything on the agenda? Worship night, that's it. Yep. Friday night, Glenn and Lotta's. I don't think there's any Seahawks games this time, so... 6:30 till midnight. No, till midnight? Yeah, 6:30 till you need to go, right? I mean, you don't have to stay till midnight. 5 minutes or 5 days. 5 minutes would probably be too short, right? Because, yeah, what's that? We have a limited amount of beds. Okay. Praise the Lord. Since David's here, I'm going to go ahead and announce, because he's going to be, like, missing in action. People were asking me if I had chased the Montgomerys away, and I told somebody, I said, yes, but I think they're coming back. No, they've just been, Michelle works every other weekend, and Josh and the kids have been doing great things for his sister and blessing others, and I think they went on a little trip or something like that as well. So, but David... Go ahead and stand up, David. I know this is interesting, but I think this is really an amazing testimony. David is now being trained over in North Bend every single weekend to be a firefighter. Yeah. And it was all God, because he came in a week late into the program, and he had like, what, almost 20 things to get done in a week? A lot. I mean, it was a long list. And, I mean, that included tests to make up, physical exercise, physical training to do and everything, because he had to catch up in 1 week what they had done in a weekend, plus all the preparation with doctors, with forms, and he got it done. And a lot of people are saying it's really a miracle that he was able to get into that program. So he will be gone until, what, like November 1st? Only reason he's here today is because it's Labor Day, which, you know, you'd think he'd be working on Labor Day because it's a lot of work over there. But he's going to come back, you know, looking like a beast. And right, Tanya? Yeah. So pray for Tanya. She's going to miss him on the weekends. But anyway, we're blessed for you, brother. I mean, you know, when one excels, when one gets blessed, we all get blessed, right? Amen? All right, praise God. Well, thank you, David, for letting me point you out there. If you have a fire at your house, call the fire department, David says. Yeah. Personally ask for David. I think that's it. I know there was one more thing on there. Does anybody have a bulletin that something, was there something after? Nobody has a bulletin. That's awesome. Okay. That's my fault then. Okay. All right. Well, Pastor Gay is going to be bringing a word today. She was sharing with me something on, was it Friday afternoon? Thursday. No, you shared with the lady something Thursday. You shared with me on Friday. And I said, do you think maybe you're supposed to preach this Sunday? I don't know, you know. So I didn't want to put any pressure on her. And so, you know, I started preparing my heart and what the Lord might have. And it's going to be a hardware message. No, but she shared that with me, and I said, oh, wow, that's powerful. And so she's going to share some of what she shared with me that Friday, but she's got, I'm sure, more, right? Okay.
Good morning, family. Have any of y'all ever been on a journey and you didn't even take one step? Like, has God ever taken you on this great big journey and your feet have never even moved? I've been on that kind of journey this week. And some of the things I've found out about myself are not lovely, I might add. And I found out that I am not a good lover. You know, like I thought, oh, I love God, I love people, but I'm not as good as I thought I was after my journey. And I'm shaking. I never shake. But it's really powerful what God has given me. And so I'm just going to ask you all, as you're beginning to listen, if you'd just say a quick prayer for me and that God would be glorified in, you know, what I say. Last week, we were at a meeting and... Josh and Michelle were there, Stephen and Sarah, Glenn and Lotta, and Pastor and I, and the babies were there, and I was calling baby Reagan's name. Baby Reagan is Stephen and Sarah's youngest, and I was saying, Reagan, Reagan, Nana loves you, and she would turn her head toward me like she recognizes her name, you know? And God does that with us. He calls our name. And if we're careful and listening, we'll turn our head toward him because he loves us so much. And love oozes out in that name. You know, everything he feels when he says your name is in that immense love and that immense emotion. It just comes out with it. And so Thursday night, we started back up. I have two cell groups on Thursday. I'm going to do a little commercial here. We're at Lotta's in the morning, and we're here at the church on Thursday nights at 5:30. And so we had taken a break because I had been gone quite a bit. And so we took a break for August, and so we came back together. And so I made dinner, and Lotta made some yummy guacamole and salsa. And so we just met together at my house. And the Lord started me on that journey that day. Actually, it was on Thursday. And the journey is continued all the way up to this morning. It's still continuing. Like, I sat down in the middle of worship and wrote something out, and I turned and looked at Vicky, and I'm trying to think as I'm looking, and she's like, what? Like, I'm, you know, I'm just, the Lord is just pouring in this stuff to me, and some of it is really, really good and stuff I really want to hear, and then there's other stuff that's still really, really good, but I'm not so necessarily sure I want to hear it. But he is so gracious and so compassionate. He always delivers good news or bad news with love. And some of it has been good and a lot of it not so good. But I do know that it's because he wants me to be the best me for him that I can be. Have you ever noticed that our love relationship with God is mimicked by our love relationships on earth? Like, the best love that we have on earth, we tend to think that that's how God loves us and how we should love God. But really, it should be the other way around. Our love of God should be mimicked to our relationships on earth. It should be opposite. And we've taught for years about, you know, God loving you and your identity in him and all of that. And all of that is really good, but it starts with love. It has to start with love because that is who he is. That is what he is. He's not G. It isn't that he's the who. He is the what in love. He is love. And so as we were, and girls, I'm sorry, you're going to hear this a little bit more but than you did Thursday night. But as we were, I was sharing on Thursday night, and I was saying to them how in 2 Timothy, it says that the very foundation of God stands having the seal that the Lord knows those that love him. He knows them. Like, Tara, he knows you and that you love him. He knows that. And that know is the word that's used for that deep, intimate knowing that is mimicked on earth between husband and wife. It's that kind of knowing. It's the most intimate, loving know that there is. And so he says, the solid foundations of God stand having this seal. Like, a seal means it's a done deal. It's like, you know, it's like when Esther went to the king and tried to get the law changed, and the signet ring was put in wax and sealed on the law, making it that no one could change it. So he had to redo the law and seal it again to supersede what had already gone. And that's what God does. He seals us with that signet ring that says, I love you. You are mine. And I'm ferocious about my love for you. And some of us are just like, oh, love is good, love is great, you know, all of that stuff. But he is so, I can't even think of a strong enough word about how he loves us except ferocious. I mean, it is so immense and so big and so powerful. And sometimes I don't think that we understand that about God. The Lord took me on a journey into the story about the woman with the issue of blood. For those of you that don't know, I like to write. Like, I've written a children's book, and I've written a half novel. It's never gone anywhere, but I've written half a novel. Woohoo! But the Lord took me on this journey, actually, of rewriting this story of the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm going to read it to you at the end. But what I want to do is I want us to turn to Mark chapter... Well, let's go to the version in Luke. I think that would be better. It would be Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, it actually starts... let me just see where I want to start at. Let's start at verse... I'm going to go to 40 just to see. Let's go to 43. Start at 43, shall we? It says, a woman who had suffered from a flow of blood for 12 years and had spent all her living upon physicians and could not be healed anymore came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood ceased. And Jesus said, Who is it who touched me? When all were denying it, Peter and those who were with him said, Master, the multitudes surround you and press you on every side. And this is what Jesus said. But Jesus said, someone did touch me, for I perceived. That word perceived is the same word as know. That intimate, deep, you know that you know that you know. He perceived that healing power had gone from him. And so he knew that even though there was a ton of people standing around, only one was desperate enough for him to take something from him. And there's probably 50 people here, and I'm wondering if any of us this morning were quite that desperate. It's really quiet. But you understand what I mean? It's like, we're given the opportunity. She took it. And we're given the opportunity. And I didn't see desperation written on me. So I can say that. You know, I'm guilty. Ooh, me. But boy, am I learning that he longs for me. The part that nobody else really even knows about. He wants that part. When we sang that song this morning, you love, you know me, you see me, you know me, you love me through and through. I've been singing that song this whole week, and I asked Glenn if we could sing that song, and the reason that I wanted to sing it is because that no word, that's the ticket here. That's the jackpot word right there. When I was a little girl, I remember my grandmother giving me a bath. I was a real little girl, because for her to give me a bath, I had to have been. But I remember this one thing that she said. Come on, baby, let's get you clean through and through. And when I sing that song, I think to myself, she didn't know what through and through was. You know, she didn't. Because I'm thinking that inside part of me, the ones that has the dirty skid marks in there that's not so pretty, he sees that. He knows that. Yet he loves me through and through. We're really stingy, I think, sometimes with our love. And we're very particular about who we give it to. And God, if you're not careful, and apparently I've not been, he will send people in your life that are particularly difficult to love. And if you don't take the opportunity to learn it then, someone a little bit harder to love will come along, because the one that he sent you apparently didn't work very well. And in the past, I would say past year, I've had a lot of those particularly hard people to love come into my life. and people that were particularly easy to love, that totally had my heart, have left my life. God is up to something in my heart. Is he up to something in yours? Is he being, at the beginning of the journey, gentle with you, saying, hey, come on now. This is what the love of me is all about. Are you at that part of the journey, or are you at the part where I'm at, where it's like, you are thick-headed. You not getting this. So let's do it a little, you know, a little bit stronger the next time, because you, sister, are just a hard nut to crack. This woman had heard stories about Jesus. She didn't know him. She didn't know him. But she had heard enough about him to say to herself, there's no other. Is there no other in your life? Or are you allowing substitutes to come along that satisfy you just enough? Now, I know this is hard to hear, you guys, but I've already heard it 3 days in a row. It's your turn. But you know, are we allowing substitutes to come along where they stand just enough in front of Jesus that we're like, oh, that's what you have for me. And it's not what he has for you. But we're so desperate to cling on to something because we know there's something that we'll grasp at whatever. Am I making any sense to anybody? This woman, no one else could substitute for her what Jesus was going to do for her, and she knew it. She knew that even if she had just a quarter of a square inch of the fringe on the bottom of his robe, she didn't need to have the collar or the arm. She was satisfied with that little quarter of an inch on the fringe. She thought, if I could just touch it. It didn't even say grab. It said just touch. That's just ding. That's all she needed. She wasn't going to, like, keep the robe. She wasn't going to rip it from him. Like, you know, how many of you guys have heard about concerts and people wanting to rip, you know, have a scarf or a hem or something? She wasn't going to keep any of that stuff. She just needed to touch, because she knew if she did, she'd be whole. Whole. When she was touched, when she had that little touch, she immediately perceived that the blood was dried up. She perceived that. Do you know what that perceived word means? No. K-N-O-W. She knew that she had been touched. She knew the blood was drying at that point. She knew that God had done what he promised he would do. For any of those people that were desperate enough to crawl through the dirty, mucky feet and legs of people that had walked on donkey dung and dirt and everything, she crawled in that muck to get to him to touch the hem. Just touch. But she knew. She perceived it was a done deal. I don't think anybody ever that I know of has ever been that desperate, really, for Jesus. I want to be. I don't want to care about what you think of me, but I do. You know, that's normal. But I want to get to the point that I don't. Because at that point, that's when he can start working. He's tried up to that point, but I care. I do, I care. I'm being frank and very raw and very open. And what were the words you used? Raw and those two words all week long. Thank you, Melissa. Hearing from God. I'm like, raw and real. Are you kidding me? God, you're so cool. Because that's all I've heard all week long. This is about the raw and the real here, girl. Raw and the real. And you know what, you guys? The whole thing about it is, if I was trying to be logical about it, if I was that raw and real and didn't care what y'all thought about me, then you would be raw and real too, because you'd have the pastor's wife's acting like a nut. I may as well go ahead, because that's all how I felt to do, but I've never done it, because it's like, boy, everybody's standing really cool and looking really fine, and here I feel like just groveling on the floor at his feet. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the depth of love that he's wanting from us. And he doesn't want us to sin by mirroring, M-I-R-R-O-R, love that I have maybe with my husband. This doesn't even compare. I should not even put it in the same sentence with what he loves me with, and how he loves me, and why he loves me, and how he wants to love me, and how he needs to love me. It's not even worth being in the same breath with. Don't get me wrong, I love my man, but I love my God more, and I know he has more for me. In Luke 8:46, Jesus says, someone did touch me, for I perceive. Deeply know that someone has touched me, because the healing power has gone forth from me. And when he turns around and he sees her, and she comes before him trembling and falls at his feet, this is what he says: Daughter, be of good cheer, for your faith has made you whole. That word daughter means acceptable to God. Now, I want you to understand what the rules were back then, so you could understand the depth of what she went to get to him. Any woman that had blood issues were not allowed in the city. They had to be out and then go through this cleansing process before they could be in. Well, she had been out for 11 years, almost 12. Well, 12 years. She had been out. So she had no relationships, no one to support her. Some people had died and others had been born, and so I'm sure the crowd looked way different than it did 12 years before. Nobody knew. She had no one. So she broke the rules. She broke the law by even attempting to come to the limits of the city or the town or the village or whatever you want to call it. But she did it. And you know why she did it? She did it because she knew there was a man. She had heard the stories, probably from other women that had come out for their time and gone back in. She had heard the stories about this man that was there on the inside, and what he was doing for people. And she just had to see him and touch him. She just had to. She didn't care that she was breaking every rule to get there. There was a desperation in her, yes. But she didn't care that her desperation overtook. Like, she could have been stoned and killed for breaking the law. Has your love of Jesus ever taken you to that point? Okay, so she gets in there, she touches him, he turns around, he sees her, and he says, you know, your faith has made you whole. So her name is acceptable to God. He accepted her in the state that everybody knew her to be in. He knew she was healed, because he said, I felt the healing power flow from me. So he and her, the two of them, they knew she was healed. But all those other people who had wives that had been out of the circle knew that she was the one that was out of the circle. But she was in the circle. But he knew, and she knew, she was healed. But they didn't know. But he called her daughter. He said, oh, accepted one. All of those people heard him. What do you mean she's accepted? She's breaking the law. She's not supposed to be accepted. She has to wait till all that stuff is done. No. Jesus, you got it all wrong. Oh, he did not. He called her acceptable. He said that she, her name means rejoicing in God's peculiar care and protection. So if anybody dare come up to where the two of them were standing and they were going to try and mess with her, he was protecting her. Because he already knew what they had yet to learn. She was whole. How many of us have lived our lives because of what others knew about us before? And you know what? The only one that can change that is you and Jesus. You're the only ones, because she knew she was whole. And she stood before him, came before him and stood, and then she fell at his feet in worship. Because her body, she knew what had happened. So he said, daughter, and then be of good cheer. That means, hey, take courage. They may not know what happened, but it's okay. Be courageous. Stand on up, because I know what happened. Your faith, that word faith, means trust. It means believed. It means having confidence. She was fully confident that he was going to protect her. Her faith in him made her whole. He didn't touch her. She touched him. Her belief made her whole. That word made whole means that she has been saved, healed. Soft. And or safe and sound. How many of us want to feel safe and sound sometimes? You know, in our relationship with him. I don't always feel safe and sound, but that's what it says. He's made her whole. He makes us whole by believing in him. Okay, I'm going to read you guys what the Lord gave me. And I encourage you to shut your eyes. You don't have to. But there are some really powerful single words in here that are mind-blowing if you hear them, okay? But I'm going to read this to you, because this is what the Lord gave me about this story of the woman. Knowingly, she had broken all the rules. What had she done? How had she dared to think that barely touching him would be okay? As she slowly raised her weak body, a body suddenly getting stronger with every movement, she raised her head to gaze into the eyes of the one. But she was afraid. He, the only one that could save her, stood before her. As the crowd swayed around them, pressing and pulling, it seemed like they were the only ones there. His eyes drew her just as much as the reports of his previous accomplishments had. Whatever it was about him, she knew without doubts that she was forever changed. He asked the guys with him, without taking his eyes from her, "Who touched me?" They all scoffed, repeating, "Who touched you? Have you not noticed just how many are here? And you ask, who touched you?" He said, "You guys don't understand. It was a touch that insisted it get something back. It was a touch requiring return. This touch demanded something from me. It actually was so powerful that it took power from me." His piercing gaze seared into me. "It was me. I did it. I needed it." I stuttered to a stop, trembling, quickly looked around and noticed we were the center of attention. As I looked back to him, his whole being seemed to exude acceptance. It drew me like a candle draws a moth. I couldn't help but shuffle forward within his reach. His soft, inviting smile lit first his eyes and then his face. It seemed to say, "I love you." Love, pure and full. Love that went against everything that society deemed as proper. Love that was crazy. Love that was complete. Love that was everything and more you'd ever hoped it to be. A love so great it reduced me to a trembling mass of flesh and blood, and the only thing I could do was fall at his feet. Then this captivating one spoke, and he said, "My girl, oh my daughter, my blessed one, you're mine. You are acceptable to me. Take courage and be confident in me. Dare to love me as I love you. Your trust and belief in me has made you safe and sound. It's restored you. Go now, secure and safe in the fact you are whole." I'm not sure how many of us feel that we're whole. I'm not sure that any of us feel so safe and sound all the time. I'm not so sure any of us really love him the way he really would love for us to. But this word today continues to break me. Because I fall so short. Nothing I can do in this life, no act, will ever be enough to replace the love he longs from me. Just love. He doesn't require anything of us. Not really. He doesn't require that we do any particular ministry, act. He just wants us to love him the way he's called us to love him. But the thing about it is, from that love, all that other stuff just freely flows. Forgive me for not loving you guys the way I know that God has asked me to. I'm going to work on it with him. He is the perfect one to show us how to do that. Glenn, could we sing that song again? You see me and you know me, but you love me through and through. You know what I mean? Because I know the skid marks inside my heart and my spirit sometimes, and I know how I feel, and I know I'm not the only one. But he sees me, he knows me, and he loves me through and through. If this has drawn your heart in any way, if you want to come up for prayer, if you want to learn to love him, if you want to reach out and touch a quarter inch of the fringe, I invite you to join me up here. Thank you.
true and true. Through and through. With an everlasting love, you love me. With a never-ending love. With an everlasting love, you love me. Through and through. With an everlasting love, you love me. Through and through. With an everlasting love, you love me. You see the stains of my past. You see the stains I still have. And you love me through and through. Through and through. Through and through.
Us. He loves us. There's no he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. He loves us. He loves us. When we don't look lovely, he loves us. When we're at our worst, he loves us. Yeah, when we're at our best, he loves us. But he is love. So I want to encourage you to bask in the love of the Father today. Bask in the love of God. Don't just leave the service and remember this moment just as the moment, but let God just permeate your being this week. Let it continue to speak to your heart. Continue to interact with the reality that you are loved. Receive the love into your heart, into your being. Let him just, let his love just encompass you. And as you do that, you know what? It's going to change us. It will transform us. We won't be the same. Because being in the presence of God is fullness of joy, full transformation. Amen. Thank you, hon. You guys have a wonderful week. Love you.